Blog Talk Radio.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give in the matter now pending before this court will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Just tell the truth, baby.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You have just entered into the Hard Truth with your host, Muhammad Hard Truth Smith, bringing you the Haq. Prepare yourselves.
In alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina wa man yahdihi lahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, around the world, الحمد لله, the hard truth is still here. And they want to silence me. And I'm pretty sure they're going to try pretty soon to silence me because, you know, they don't like what I'm talking about because we're only telling the truth. We're not trying to hurt nobody. We're just telling the truth. Alhamdulillah. So with that being said, I want to give the greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the Muslims throughout the whole wide world. Even y'all Muslims going out tonight, knowing y'all not supposed to be going out, shooting your guns, going to the clubs, taking off your hijab, cutting your beard, getting all fresh and everything. To imitate the kufar, you know, we still give you salams too. And I want to also say peace and greetings to all of our non-Muslim listeners who have tuned in tonight. Even though I don't think it's going to be a lot of you guys because I know it's New Year's. But anyway, peace to you guys, whether you're here with good intentions or bad intentions, whether you're trying to figure out a way to silence me or you just really want to learn about Islam, welcome to our show. Now, today's topic is a very intricate topic. And I say that because you have so many factions of Islam, so many people who claim that they are learning Islam and they're learning Islam correctly and they are practicing Islam or they're not practicing Islam or they're living Islam and so on and so forth. So today, inshallah, we want to get into that because it's very, very important that we understand what is learning Islam, what is practicing Islam, what is living Islam, because these are some of the stages of life that we are going to go through. And you hear different excuses, you hear different takes on it. People come up with their own whims on what Islam is to them and why they practice the way they practice and so on and so forth. So, inshallah, we want to talk about that today also. Where's my co-host? I have no idea. I don't know if he's going to be late. I can't worry about him. The show must go on. So, therefore, we're going to keep it pumping, inshallah, with the hard truth. And we'll be back, inshallah. And that's the hard truth.
Do you need to install a door, replace a broken window, or maybe add on to your home, build a shed in your backyard, or build the dream home you always wanted? Look no further. Smith & Associates Property Maintenance and Contracting will help make your dreams a reality. Good pricing, quality work, and honest Muslims. Smith & Associates will be your first and final stop, inshallah. Give them a call at 770-504-5993 or email smithapmc@gmail.com. If you own multiple units, ask about our maintenance program. Located in the Atlanta area and servicing surrounding cities, Smith & Associates Property Maintenance and Contracting, 770-504-5993. Got an idea? Give us a call.
Okay. For some reason, my texting does not want to work today. Here we go. You know, it's funny, you hear people say Happy New Year's to you and Merry Christmas and all these different things. So, let's start from the beginning. What is learning Islam? lot of people, we study Islam, and you have people who study Islam who wants to do Islam in. But as far as the Muslims go, we study Islam, and we study it to try to get closer to Allah, as well, Jeff, to be the best Muslims. Now, you have some people who study just to get the upper hand on other people, because a lot of people, and I'm going to say this, and I hope no one takes this the wrong way, but if you look, and I'm not pointing fingers at a certain Jama'at, because I take from some of the scholars of the Salafiyah, but a lot of the people who I've met in the Salafiyah, they learn Islam, and they use it to belittle other people, to bring themselves up. I'm going to tell you something, people. If Islam is not humbling you, then you have to check your own heart. Now, like I said, I take from the Salafi, scholars, no problem. They're some of the people I take from. So I'm not attacking the Salafi community or Jama'at. You know, I know how y'all people like to run back and, oh, Brother Muhammad said this. Let's go tell Sheikh Fawzan and them and Sheikh such and such. No, we're not doing that. We're talking about the people. People get knowledge and they beat people down with it. So if you're not learning Islam to become a better Muslim, to become closer to Allah, as it were, then you have to really check yourself. Because people learn Arabic and they learn Hadith and they learn Quran and they sit with a sheikh for a little bit and then next thing you know they stuck for luck and start beating the people down and so on and so forth. That's wrong. So when you come to learn, you must have pure intentions. If you look at the Hadith of Jibril alayhi salam, when he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, "Ikhbarani Islam, Ikhbarani Iman, Ikhbarani Islam," and so on and so forth, you know, he was asking about what is Islam and what is Iman and what is Islam, but no one pays attention to how he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What about the way he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He came in the manner of being clean. His clothing was clean, but not only was his clothing clean, it also represented that his heart was clean. And that is the first thing we have to have. We have to purify our hearts. A lot of people run from this saying of purifying the hearts because they, oh, that's Sufism. No, it's not Sufism. Purifying the hearts is something we all have to do. I don't care how much Quran you know, I don't care how much Hadith you know, I don't care how much Aqidah you know, how much Fiqh you know, it doesn't matter if your hearts are not pure. That is the bottom line. You have to have your hearts pure. Secondly, when we learn Islam, we have to learn it correctly. Now, this is the biggest thing that we face now in days. You have all these different groups, all these people. You know, this people bid'ah, this people dalala, this people this, this people that. You have so many people attacking one another. And it's used by names, by the name gang. Well, I'm such and such. You know, they say, some people say, well, I'm Hanafi, so my daughter cannot marry a Maliki. I'm Shafi, so my daughter cannot marry a Hanbali. I'm a Salafi, so you can't marry a Tabliki. It's the name thing. If a person decides to practice Islam and say he follows a madhhab, he doesn't have to proclaim whatever madhhab he follows, whatever minhaj he follows. Allah is not going to judge you based on a name you're claiming. Because when you start claiming names, guess what? You start putting yourself into sects. Allah didn't give us a sect to follow. He didn't say you was a sect. He said it was Ummah. But the Prophet said that the people will break up into 73 different sects. 70 different sects of Muslims. So once we pull ourselves out of this finger pointing and learning Islam for real, and stop using Islam to beat up each other and to look down on one another and cross the barriers, the so-called invisible barriers of the habits and so on and so forth, then we can start to truly learn Islam. Now, a lot of times we don't know where we get our information from. A lot of people learn from books, and they say, you know, they become scholars overnight because they read a couple books. Brothers and sisters, non-Muslims, please listen to me. You cannot learn Islam from a book. You have to have a teacher. You can read the Quran all day long, but you have to have a teacher. You can go online all day long. You have to have a teacher to teach you Islam. This is why so many people have gotten bits and parts of the Quran and have ran and made up their own new groups like the Nation of Islam and More Science and all these different groups have taken parts of the Quran and came up with their own movement when I was a bit out. The Quran is powerful. That's why they're able to do it, because the Quran is powerful. So they take something from the Quran, they use the Quran, and they manipulate the translation. They really can't manipulate the Arabia, because the Arabia is what it is. So they manipulate the translation. We had a guy on Facebook today was okay, I'm sorry. Let me put this link on here so the people can go on here. Hold on. Give me 1 second, please. There's people asking for the link. HTTPS, whatever these things are called, /
certain levels. So we want to be able to
be easy with the people. The Prophet ﷺ was not hard on the people. When he called them to Islam, when he gave them da'wah, he wasn't hard upon the people. So we don't want to be hard upon the people either, inshallah. I've seen many times, and I think I shared this with you guys before. One time, I was in South Carolina, and it was the craziest story, I promise you, the craziest story in the whole world. I was with a Jamaat called the Marabatun. I don't know if they still exist. Allahu Akbar. But when we was in the Jamaat, it was time for the Maghrib prayer. So they called the Adhan. I was there with my cousin and a couple of our friends who were part of the Marabatun. And we went down there, and it was time for Salat al Maghrib, and the Imam was leading the Salat. And so the Imam says, Walat dalin. So me and my cousin, out of about 70-some people, maybe not that many, but it was a lot of people, we say, we start looking around like, okay, why are we the ones saying I mean? So then, after the Salat, because they don't say I mean, so after the Salat, and we know from the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the Sahaba said that when the Imam or when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, well, at Darlene, that the Ameens of the Jama'at used to make the walls of the masjid shake. Dig that. The Ameen of the Jama'at will make the walls of the masjid shake. So where people get this off not saying Ameen, Allahu Alam, I do not know. But I know this hadith is sahih. And it says that when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was saying, Wala Dalin, that the Ameens of the masjid, Ameens of the Jama'at will make the walls of the masjid shake. Alhamdulillah. Now, I wonder if our brother Yahya, if you are there, I wonder if you can you see us on YouTube? I want to know if you guys in Australia can see us, inshallah. So, the Imam says, well, at Dali, me and my cousin, the only two people out of all these people says, Ameen. So then, after the Salat, they put everybody along the walls. And then they start saying, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya, doing this, right? And then they started standing people up. And when they started standing people up, we said, Ya Allah, Ya. And so, you know, we're new Muslims. We don't know any better. We might have been Muslims maybe about a year or something like that. And so we're just doing it, but we're really not feeling comfortable doing this. But we're doing it, you know, just out of just doing it. We don't really know that we can just walk out and leave. So anyway, they start moving people around from one point in the room to the other part of the room and so on and so forth until, this is going to trip you people out, trust me. There was a dimmer switch on the wall. If the people don't know what a dimmer switch is, a lot of people have them in their houses. It's a light switch on the wall. It's in a circle shape, and you turn it up and down, up and down. So you can make the lights low, you can make the lights bright, so on and so forth. This guy turns the lights up and down while we're doing this dhikr. Brothers and sisters in the Muslim world, now, I'm not the one to talk about no one's belief or anything like that when it comes to Islam, but listen, that wasn't cool. That wasn't right. There was no dimmer switch during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was no dimmer switch. So why was this man doing it? This is why it's important to know who you are taking your Islam from. Very, very, very important. You have people who are telling people that they do not have to wear hijab anymore, that you don't have to wear the beard no more, you don't have to even look like a Muslim and this and that. Where is this based off of? Is this from the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Did he say one day we don't have to practice Islam anymore? Or we can start dealing with riba, we can start drinking, we can start smoking? I mean, come on. That our women can take off the hijab? You You know, it was a statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was reported that he said, the companion said that he would not even take the judgment of a man who would cut his lihya, who would cut off his beard. Dig that. But people say, oh, brother, it's 2000 and it's still 2015. It's 2015. Oh, brother, we should have to, now, you know, when people start talking about this year and that year, that's when I say, okay, so they don't realize really 14, was it 1437 now or something like that, from after Hijra, 1438 or something like that after Hijra. Maybe somebody can correct me, inshallah. So it lets you know what the mentality of the people are. It just lets you know. So when we learn Islam, we have to learn Islam in the correct manner. Now, granted, sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes we are taught Islam by the person who gives us our shahada, you know, who might tell you, Aki, you know, you can smoke this blunt, you know, and it's going to take your salat to a whole different level. They got cats like that. I promise you, I know them. I promise you. They got people out there like that. Oh, you can drink alcohol, just don't go to prayer, but it'll be fog of mind, make sure you're done, and this and that. You have these individuals out there. You have to be very careful who you take your Islam from. Very careful. This brothers I trust. There's brothers in the Salafi I trust. There's brothers in the Hanafi I trust. There's brothers who Shafi that I trust. I trust their knowledge. And I'll take from them. But we have to be careful, people. I would like, I got all the people on YouTube, but I want to hear from some of the people on call number 347-324-3601. Tell us about your experience in Islam. You know who you learned from. Were they trustworthy? Were they credible? Were they just Joe Baloney who might have good intentions? You know, you look at, for instance, the Nation of Islam, how they broke off, and then with Clarence Muhammad, then the 5% Nation, and they just keep on going. People giving their own, putting their own desires into God's, into the way of God, into Allah, as it was just. Even with the Christians, same thing happened with the Christians. You know, they actually, their book was actually changed. You know, somebody was arguing with us today on Facebook, my man Eric from Iowa. I'm hoping Eric calls in. Eric used to call in all the time. I think he just got tired of arguing. But, you know, he says, then why does Allah say in the Quran, confirming that which came before you? That is because Allah, as well, this is for Eric, because I'm pretty sure Eric is listening. He's probably fussing at me right now. Because Allah, as well, when he means confirming that which came before you, he's confirming the teachings of Jesus, alayhi salam, and the original Bible of Jesus, alayhi salam, not this new stuff that the people have. It's not the same thing. So confirming that which came before you is talking about confirming what Isa, alayhi salam, came with what? Tawheed. What is Tawheed? The oneness of Allah, worshiping Allah alone. That is what Tawheed is. Jesus taught Tawheed. Jesus never told no one in the Bible to worship him. But you'll have people like these reverends who be trying to get some money, and the Lord said, you must pay the church so that I can have a nice Cadillac. And you know, you get all this nonsense and this foolery, and the people fall right into it. I know one of my sisters had, she was in the church, and they needed some counseling from the church board or the pastor or something. And because they did not pay their monthly tithe, they were refused counseling. See, the more money you pay, what I learned about churches, the more money you pay, the closer you can sit to the front. The less money you pay, the more you're in the back. That's amazing. So now, we want to learn the correct Islam. We want to make sure the Islam that we're learning is on point with Quran and Sunnah. What is our proof? First of all, the Quran. We always have to revert back to the Quran first. And like I said, people, Don't just pick the Quran up and think you're going to read it and understand it and all that. Yeah, you might get some understanding and everything, but it's best to have someone to teach you. Right now, on Mondays and Wednesdays, I teach I facilitate a tafsir class. And I really enjoy it, alhamdulillah, and I can pull back on some of my teachers who taught me things about the Quran and learning, you know, like, for instance, we just finished Al-Fatiha, and a lot of people don't know the benefits of Al-Fatiha. A lot of people don't know that Al-Fatiha is a dua. Think about it. Allah Azza wa Jalla is teaching us how to call upon Him. What is the first thing we say after the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? We say what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Which means what? All praise due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Most gracious, most merciful. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Master or the owner of the day of recompense, the day of judgment. Now, let's stop there. What did we just do? We just praised Allah in three ayats. We just praised Allah. Praised Him. We extolled Him, and we gave Him His grandeur. There's a hadith Qudsi. Allah says that the prayer has been divided between me and my slave. My slave should get what he asked for. People, you should really look up this hadith. It's a very beautiful hadith, alhamdulillah. So then we says, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You alone we worship, you alone do we seek for help, right? So now, we are, Allah says that we have turned all affairs over to Allah. We're saying, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You alone do we worship, meaning we're not going to worship nobody else but you, Allah. We're not worshiping nobody but you, Allah. We're not worshiping Muhammad. We're not worshiping Jesus. We're not worshiping Musa. We're not worshiping Abraham. We're not worshiping no rocks, no statues. We are only worshiping the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is between. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. The creator of the heavens and the earth and all that which is between them, right? So that's what it is. We're saying Allah, and we cannot do anything without you. Meaning we're saying we only worship you, Allah, and we only seek your aid and assistance. And then we say what? And then our surat al-mustaqim. We say this often. Guide us on the straight path. Surat al-ladina anamta alayhim, ghayru al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dallin. Meaning what? The one you have bestowed the path, guide us to the straight path, the path which you have bestowed your ni'mah, your grace, not the path of those who earned your anger, those who go astray. We're going to take a quick call, inshallah. Area code 931, last four digits, 0791. Welcome to the Hard Truth with your host, Muhammad Hard Truth Smith.
You'll never guess who it is, Muhammad. How are you, sir?
It's Eric from Kafiristan.
Yes, sir. You know, you goaded me into calling in. How dare you do that?
Huh? Talk to me, Eric. I can't hear you.
You goaded me into calling in is what you did. You
know
made
I
a
did.
Comment about what we were,
you know
yeah,
I did.
Know. I saw it. I saw it. Because, you know, what we were discussing on Facebook today, I could not let you get away with that. But you know what? I absolutely love your show, and you know, calling in is always a treat for me. And discussing these things, whether it's on Facebook or on your show, is always something special.
Hallelujah. Hey, Eric, do you have a show?
Yeah. Do I have a show? I do not have a show. I am not. I can't sit down and talk for an hour straight. I just can't do it. I'm not that smart. I'm not that gifted.
Okay, Eric. Don't Eric. Now, we know you're very smart. Don't try that one.
Not that smart. I mean, I can do it in front of a class of eighth graders, but when we try to talk, things of heavenly things, it's just, I just can't do that.
Well, you know what, Eric? I'm going to say you're not that smart now, because there's no way in the world, there's no way in the world I could teach any school level after sixth grade. I don't know how you even do it. That's crazy.
And they are crazy. I mean, that's just the thing. You have to resign yourself to that. Eighth graders are clinically insane, and then once you get past that, everything is a piece of cake.
Okay, I hope so. So what's on your mind here?
Well, the comment that you made about the gospel,
uh-huh.
that we have now in the form of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
saying that it has been corrupted, and this is something you and I have gone back and forth on several times. I'm not exactly sure what you're trying to say here is that there was a gospel that existed prior to the gospel that we have now. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, what I'm saying is there was earlier texts that were written before Paul, and these texts were the ones that was corrupted. Now, these texts were, see, what most people have is the books of Paul, actually, you know, what Paul said and how Paul said it and this and that. But there were other books that were around from not Jesus himself writing them, but those people who were around who were honest people who wrote the truth. And a lot of the scriptures of those times since then have been changed for the authority. You see what I'm saying? The authority it wasn't the common people who did it. It was those people who were persecuting the people of Jesus, alayhi salam. They were persecuting them people, and they were changing things to fit their own desires. I was talking to a Jehovah's Witness guy today. And,
oh my gosh, be careful when you do that, Muhammad, because we all have to run. Susanna,
you know the first thing he said? You know the first thing he said? He said,
My experience is, do you know who Jehovah is? I don't know.
No, that's not the first thing he said. He said, do you know that the Jehovah's Witness and the Muslims have a lot in common?
They do, because both deny the deity of Christ.
Yeah, well, we don't deny Jesus, alayhi salam, but we believe he was the prophet of God, right?
Right, yeah, the deity of Christ. Both sects, or both Muslims and Jehovah's Witness deny the deity of Christ. Yes.
The deity of Christ. Now, but you know, Jehovah's Witness, I don't think they believe in the hell either.
I'm not exactly sure what they believe, but, you know, I'm not even going to comment on it because I don't know exactly what they believe, but I do know that they deny the deity of Christ, and a lot of the apologetics that we hear from Muslims in Christendom, for lack of a better term, comes
mm-hmm.
from the co-opting of the teachings of Jehovah's Witnesses. I didn't know if you were aware of that, but it's kind of a scary symbiotic relationship that Muslims have with Jehovah's Witnesses simply because they claim to be Christian and at the same
yeah.
time not the deity of Christ, which is, I don't exactly sure how that all works out for them, but I'm sure they're of course, they're happy with it.
Well, you know that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, said there be 71 different sects of Jews, 72 different sects of Christians, and 73 different sects of Muslims. He said all of them would be in the hellfire except one. And they said, O Messenger of Allah, which one is that? He said, that which I and my companions are on today, meaning those who follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Okay, Eric, let me put you on hold for a minute. I got to take this other call. I'm going to get right back to you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. I got a call on the line. 661 is the air code. Last four digits, 0800. Welcome to the Hard Truth with Muhammad Hard Truth Smith.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
I am a newly reverted Muslim about a year in.
Okay.
I was just listening to how you were talking about how some who you learn from, they like to twist things around to get their way.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Right now, I thought, like, in the Quran, like, I pick it up and I read it once in a while myself. I thought in the Quran, a Muslim's word is everything. You know, so, like, my husband promised me something one day, and come to find out, like, it just keeps getting changed and changed and changed. And we ended up getting a divorce over this. Or, you know, my thing is, how do I find a real scholar, a real iman to talk to about these things instead of just going by what my husband is trying to tell me or what his uncle is trying to tell me.
Okay, sister, before we go there, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Is your husband a human being?
Yes.
Is his uncle a human being?
Yes.
Okay, I want to tell you something, and I always tell all new Shahadas this. I tell people the religion is perfect. The people are not perfect. Do not look for the religion in the people. You hear me?
Yes.
Allah is perfect. His way is perfect. His way is without doubt perfect. But people, I don't care what religion they are, people are going to mess up. And I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, I mess up too. My wife be ready to kick my tail.
Yes.
Now, as far as finding a credible scholar, my first advice to you is to make dua to Allah about it. Ask Allah to guide you to that. Because there are some very good teachers out here.
Yes.
But the sad thing is we're dealing with people. We're dealing with men. And it's hard to find that man who doesn't want to push his own agenda. You know, you want someone who's going to just push the deen, Islam, that's it. You know, and those are the people you want to look for. Not no one really saying I'm this, I'm that, you know, but just saying I'm Muslim, and this is what Islam is, without any of their own agendas. When you got someone talking about, you know, it's okay to warn against people who's doing something that can take you to hell. That's fine. But be careful of the people who alienate you from other Muslims. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the best thing to do is make dua to Allah first and ask Allah to guide you to someone that is a good teacher, a righteous teacher, inshallah.
Right. And I have one question. I have done that, you know, and I have found the right imam right now. Me and my husband are divorced because he felt like, you know, I'm newly converted. I feel like for a Muslim woman, like, we have to do change a lot more than what I feel like my husband was expecting of me. And when I went outside of the marriage and tried to speak to the imam about things that were being asked upon me, because, you know, I didn't know why, you know, it says to wear the hijab, but I didn't really understand in my heart why, you know. And when I would go seek help, I would get in trouble. Am I not allowed to seek help or seek answers from scholars or imams without my husband's approval?
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Just humor me for a minute, okay?
Yes.
What is your race?
I am mixed with black and white.
Okay. And what was your husband?
He's black.
He's a black guy?
Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like, because the reason why I ask you that, and it sounds like a cultural thing, but when you said he was black, now I'm looking at something, I'm looking at a little difference, because sometimes like an Arab guy is more cultural, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you're talking about going outside the house, the wife has the right to complain to the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the hadith where the woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and complained about her husband? Do you know that hadith? Okay, so that's your proof. That's your proof right there. You have the right to go to the imam. My wife has the imam on speed dial. I can't do nothing about that.
Right, yes.
That's her right, because if I am oppressing her or doing something wrong, then who else is going to check me? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Brothers try to keep the women hidden, and I don't want to use the word oppressed, but this is a form of oppression. Because if he's living up to the book, which a lot of us don't because we're human beings and we're just trying to do the best we can, then, you know, sometimes they want to tell the woman, well, you can't talk to another man without my permission. Okay, ask his permission. And if he says no, then say, well, I'm going anyway. And then you remind your husband that Allah Azza wa Jal, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah Azza wa Jal says there is no veil, there is no barrier, There is nothing between the dua of an oppressed woman and Allah.
Yes.
There is no barrier, no nothing. If a man is oppressing his wife and she calls on Allah about that oppression, he better watch out. Because it's coming.
Yes, yes.
But see, a lot
Thank
of sisters
don't. Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah, you know, it's very important. You know, this is why it's important who you learn your Islam from. Because you'll have
yes.
people who will oppress the women. They will do it. I'm sorry to say it. I'm just being honest with you. It's the hard truth. That's what we're here for. We tell the truth. There are people who will use Islam to oppress the women.
Yes.
But then you have people who practice Islam for real. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a brother. I love this brother that I never met him. Never met this guy at all. But I've seen him on YouTube, and I listened to his lectures. You ever heard of Mufti Mink? Are you there, sis?
Yes, sorry.
Have you ever heard of Mufti Mink?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my goodness. You got to go on YouTube and Google Mufti Mink. He is.
Okay.
He is the bomb. Did I just say bomb? He is the bomb. Tell him. SubhanAllah. When I hear this
yes.
brother, my iman gets strong. There's another brother.
Okay.
He's a Hanafi brother, Sheikh Ismail. Beautiful brother. He follows the Hanafi method, but he makes when I'm taught to him, my man gets stronger. Sheikh Shaban in Columbus, Ohio. He's a Salafi brother. These brothers do a lot for me when I talk to them. I learn a lot from them. Very beautiful brothers. And then you got the grumpy brothers. You know, one of the laws, and everybody's wrong, and everybody's this and that.
Yeah.
You know, just the best thing to do with them brothers, salam alaikum, wa alaikum salam, and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just being real with you on that, inshallah. So you have any more questions, sis? You good?
No, I am very good. Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you. May Allah rectify your affairs. Ameen. So we're going to get back on with the show, inshallah, and stay on the line, sis. Salam alaikum. Okay. Where are we at here? Brother Eric. Eric, are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay, Eric. Now, I know you studied Islam a lot, right?
I'm obsessed with it. I have OCD. You know what that is? That's like you're
you
crazy.
You have OCD? You do?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I know. It's something that
All right,
I think
well,
the sickness of old men.
Tell the world what it is so they'll know.
Obsessive compulsive disorder. This is something that once you get a hold of it, you just can't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like this, I guess, my entire life. When I get a hold of a subject, I just keep reading and reading and reading and reading and learning and learning and learning. And
mm-hmm.
you know, now it's Islam. Before it was the, you know, Christianity and the creation evolution controversy. And I don't know. There's all kinds of things that go along with it. But with this, I do a lot of reading.
Mm-hmm.
and studying on this.
So let me ask you a question, Eric. When you study Islam, do you study with objective, do you study with an open heart, or do you study listening?
No,
for...
I will tell you, I study it with the preconceived notion that it is false. You know, I'm
mm-hmm.
just going to be perfectly honest with you. When I look at Islam. And I wouldn't say that when I began looking at it, because I always believed that Muslims and Christians came from the same covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. But now I'm not, you know, the more I look at it, the less I'm sure of that. But I do not look at it with a jaundiced eye, or I do look at it with a jaundiced eye. I don't look at it from an unbiased perspective. Just as you don't look at Christianity from a unbiased perspective, I would not look. I don't look at Islam the same way, because we both have deeply held convictions.
Oh yeah, it's the hard truth, Eric. We know we need the hard truth from you. It's the hard truth.
We need it, and this
yeah.
is what makes us, you know, so you know why we get along so well together, because we're completely honest.
Yes, we're able to be honest with one another, and you know, and I'm gonna tell you one thing I cannot stand is apologetic Muslims. It drives me crazy. What the heck are you apologizing for? You know, something happens. Like, for instance, we had this San Bernardino thing, right?
Yes, I remember. You know, and the thing about that was is that day I was sick from school. I had come home from school, and I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting out there in my recliner. I turn the TV on, and I'm watching this. You know, I'm watching this unfold. I'm channels, you know, I'm flipping channel to channel to channel. And every, and I heard your show, I'm not sure if it was last week or the week before last, that you were commenting on that, or actually it might have been the show that was right after it occurred. But the news anchors on every single news station, without exception, refused to even mention what it could have possibly been. And that was, you have two people who had gone rogue, two people that were, you know, using Islam as a basis for their acts, and nobody would want to admit it. And then when it finally came out, it was just like, "Are you kidding me?" And even the president, I mean, even in the course of, you know, the investigation going on, it's coming out, well, we need to start, you know, we don't need to look at Islam as the cause. We need to start looking at, you know, the cause is too many guns on the street, which, in my opinion, is
well, you know, false. They had some early reports, right? And a lot of times, I don't know how this happens. I mean, I know how it happens, but I don't know how they do it. They suppress the early reports. They had there's some video. I loaded it up on Facebook. No, they wouldn't let me load it up on Facebook. I had it. But for some reason, they wouldn't let me share it. There was Zuckerberg. It was hot. My wife just bought me some tea, y'all. I'm sorry. So they had said that there was three well-built, like muscle-bound white individuals with assault rifles that did this. And that was the earliest report. And it's actually on YouTube, and you can find it. They have actual news reporters who had that. But
well, they
wrote
that out because what they were doing is they were trying to build a narrative that it was the militia that had done something. That was a narrative that was being built. So if that had leaked out, that's not surprising that something like that would come out and get published in the media.
How old are you, Eric?
51.
Oh, you're a little young whippersnapper.
Now, OLD. I have that acute case of OLD.
Okay, Eric, you're 51. So you were around in the early days, 70s and 60s and stuff. Mm. Kind of, sort of. You were young, though, right?
Yeah, you know, that's, yeah, okay.
Do you think, and I want you to honestly answer this question, I know you will anyway, do you think that our government, and I do say our government, I'm part of America, so our government, do you think that they perform operations like that in America to say that? Because I don't know if you know, but we know that sometimes the government does things to scare the people or to get money to do other things. So do you believe any rogue activity ever happens on American soil?
Sure, absolutely. I would like, you know, the patriotic part of me, you know, I've spent 21 years in the Army. The patriotic part of me, you know, doesn't want to admit something like that. But I don't think, you know, I wouldn't put it past our government to try to do some things to sway public opinion on events or ideas. Sure. I mean, look at, the greatest example of that would be the Fast and Furious debacle that the Obama administration went through a number of years ago, where they're running guns, allowing guns to be bought from gun shows and then run into Mexico. And the purpose of this, that it's come out, was to gin up this anti-gun sentiment so they could push through Congress anti-gun legislation. So I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put that past our government at all. No.
Okay. You know, it's funny because a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people believe, like, for instance, we talked about, there's a guy named Freeway Rick Ross. You ever heard of him before?
Say that again? Free what?
Freeway Rick Ross. You ever heard of that name before?
I have not. I'm sorry.
Well, what happened was when Ronald Reagan, he went to get some money from Congress for the Iran-Contra, and they turned him down. Remember the hostage situation and things like that?
I remember that vividly, yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. They turned him down. They didn't give him the money. So what Ronald Reagan did, and this is documented now, they finally came to that. Matter of fact, they made a movie. I couldn't believe they actually made a movie about it now. Ronald Reagan put drugs on the street. He put crack cocaine on the street. He took Freebase and turned it to crack. And he gave it to a guy named Freeway Rick Ross, who was a drug dealer in L.A. And the money he made funded the Iran-Contra. This is like the most elaborate. And, you know, we know Oliver North took the fall for everything. But it was amazing how our government used our people, American people, to fund their wars instead of just saying we're going to raise the taxes. But, you know, drug money is a lot of money. I don't know if you know that, but it's a lot of money. But I want to get back to the topic because when we learn Islam, and Eric, I got to tell you this too. I know you read a lot of books, and I know you said you have Muslim professors. But, Eric, if you truly want to learn Islam, I think you have to sit with a sheikh who is so anti of what you believe. You see what I'm saying? You got to sit. You can't really sit with a college professor. Because I can pretty much guarantee you that he's going to be kind of modernized in his approach. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. But, I mean, if and here's the problem I have with that is that Islam lays out all of their teachings in, I mean, it's all been translated into English, where I, as somebody who's a thinking adult, can go in there and read these texts and discern what was written in the Quran, understand what its intent was, and then bounce that off of the Hadith, the example that Muhammad set, look at the Sirah, his biography, look at the Tafsir, the commentary on. I don't think that it's necessary to have somebody to tell me what is, you know, what it, I mean, when you get into something like that, then you find yourself in a cult. Where somebody is telling you that this means this, even though it looks like it means this. That is where, and the reason why I say that is because, you know, you, somebody who is, you know, an upright individual does, or, you know, tries to do what is right by the tenets of Islam to everybody that you interact with. And then I compare that to somebody like the current the self-proclaimed caliph of the Islamic State, who has, you know, a PhD in Islamic studies and how he applies Islam. When I look at that and I look at the two different perspectives of Islam, and here in you know, it's how you read it. Now, would you suggest that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi sit under a sheikh in order to have him reinterpret or have the correct teachings of the Quran, of the Hadith, of the Sunnah, the Sirah explained to him? I don't
that's,
think so.
But that's
I mean,
how it works.
I'm sorry?
Because, for instance, let's look at the Nation of Islam, right?
I don't like using them because, you know, even you would consider the Nation of Islam heretical. I mean, that's, I don't know.
But I'm going to give you an example. How they deviated, right? They took a verse, I think it was in Surah Hujurat, where it said, Allah said that they will be raised up blind and, you know, the baby's hair will turn gray. They took these different sayings from the Islam, right? And they came up with the white man being the devil, which we know that ain't the truth. But they took these parts of the Quran and came up with this. Had someone had the correct teacher to tell them that's not what that means, it means that they'll be blind on the day of judgment, then maybe this whole movement wouldn't have happened. You follow me?
I do, and that's actually the point that I was trying to make with ISIS. I mean, whose sheikh are you going to roll with? Are you going to roll with somebody who has spent his entire life studying Islam, applying Islam, preaching Islam, like the current caliph, and say, well, no, he's wrong because he hasn't sat under this sheikh. He doesn't understand what he's reading. You know, that I don't want to say, I don't mean to be incredulous about this or rude about this, but what I'm saying is that just doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, you and I both can read something and understand what it means in its context. I mean, words in context do have meaning. So when we look at the Quran, the Hadith, the Sirah, you know, they all have meaning. So, you know, when I look at Islam, which is what we were discussing on Facebook today, that's what I see.
Let's look at it like this. Remember, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessed be upon him, said there be 73 different sects of Muslims. 71 different sects of Jews, 72 different sects of Christians, 73 different sects of Muslims. He said all of them would be in the hellfire. Because you have, except for the one, because you have all these different people who want to interpret the Quran and and Islam for their own benefit. And that's the problem. But I got a question for you, Eric, since you brought up ISIS.
Uh-oh, here we go. Is this multiple choice?
Now, my question is very simple. Don't you think it's ironic or kind of weird that Arabs will be using English acronyms? ISIS.
As opposed to Daesh?
What's your take on that? Huh?
As opposed to Daesh?
As opposed to Daesh.
Well, I mean, in order to understand that, I see what where you're going with this and what you're alluding to, how the media has made or created this sensation of the Islamic State and, you know, Arabs referring it to as, you know, ISIS, you know, also, or, you know, our president calling ISIL.
ISIL.
I don't get that. You know, as far as, you know, whether or not the Arabs are, you know, they're just regurgitating what they hear in the media on what it's called. But, you know, what they're calling themselves, Daesh, you know, the Islamic Caliphate, I'm not sure exactly, you know, what difference that makes.
Well, it makes a big difference because a lot of Muslims believe that this is another group put together by our government. And, you know, we know Hillary Clinton, she kind of spilled the beans the other day, about a month and a half ago, about America creating Taliban to fight against Russia, and so on and so forth. And so I guess living in a Muslim world, our insight is a little more deeper than the media. So we're kind of able to see a lot of the lies that's perpetrated against Muslims. But, Eric, I got to put you on hold, my friend. I got to take a break, and inshallah, stay on the line.
Hey, Muhammad, when we come back, I do have a couple questions for you, if that's okay.
Okay, can we get him after the break?
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
Okay. All right, so we'll be right back, inshallah, and that's the hard truth.
Do you need to install a door, replace a broken window, or maybe add on to your home, build a shed in your backyard, or build the dream home you always wanted? Look no further. Smith & Associates Property Maintenance and Contracting will help make your dreams a reality. Good pricing, quality work, and honest Muslims. Smith & Associates will be your first and final stop, inshallah. Give them a call at 770-504-5993 or email smithapnc@gmail.com. If you own multiple units, ask about our maintenance program. Located in the Atlanta area and servicing surrounding cities, Smith & Associates Property Maintenance and Contracting, 770-504-5993. Got an idea? Give us a call.
Alhamdulillah, before we get back to our good friend Eric, we talked about learning Islam. Now let's kind of talk about implementing Islam, practicing Islam. What is practicing Islam? What is putting Islam into practice? What is application? We have so many people who claim to be Muslim, and like when we saw in the Arab, you know, they have different understandings of Islam. You know, you have your traditionalists, or what you would call, what's the word I'm looking for? Traditional Islam, or it has another word. I'm trying to think of the word. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it right now. Then you have your modernists, and I don't know what an extreme Muslim is. That's what I've been trying to figure out. What is an extreme Muslim? You hear the media says these extreme Muslims this, extreme Muslims that. What the heck is an extreme Muslim? I have no idea. Excuse me 1 second. I'm fixing this camera. It seems to be down a little bit too low. Okay. So, I don't know what extreme Muslim is. I know what a modern Muslim is. I know what a Muslim is who doesn't really care to practice. You have people say Islam is in my heart. You know, and I love when they tell me that because, you know, everybody knows whatever's in your heart is going to emulate through your actions. You're going to see it through the things that you do. That's how you know. So, and Allah knows best. People use excuses and so on and so forth. But when we learn Islam, we have to then what? Put it into practice. We talked about earlier about Umar ibn Khattab, the Anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that when they would learn an ayat of Quran, they wouldn't go past that ayat until they were able to put it into practice, until they were able to implement it. So are we implementing Islam? Are we putting it into practice? That is the key to the question here. And are we practicing it in the correct manner? See, we were just talking, and there are so many, like the sister who called in and she was talking about her husband divorced because she went to talk to the imam. What kind of crap is that? You don't divorce your wife because she went. You need to be doing the right thing so she don't have to go to the imam, brother. And you better hope she don't go to Allah about it. That's what you better worry about. So anyway, you have to have practical application. Quran is Sunnah. Islam is something that humbles. Islam is not oppressive. You don't oppress nobody in Islam. Islam is not a religion to lay down and let nobody just do anything to you either. All right? The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, do not pray for war, but when it comes, be patient. A lot of people talk that rah-rah, I ain't afraid of no war, and this and that, and this and that. But as soon as them bullets start flying, they get like this. All right, where you at? You know what I'm saying? And this is the most people. You know, and they, hold on, let me turn the speakers off. Okay. So you'll find so many people who don't even really understand Islam. Don't even understand what they're claiming to be about. So when we apply the application of Islam, we want to make sure that our hearts are pure. We want to make sure that our knowledge is sound. If Islam is not humbling a person, then they got to check themselves. So we're going to, we got Eric on the line. And, you know, I always let Eric talk because Eric always calls the show. Well, he used to, but he always calls in and, you know, we have these discussions. So we're going to bring Eric back online. Eric has some questions for the Muslims tonight. So let's see what Eric's questions are. Eric, are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead, Eric.
I've been jotting down a couple questions here. I got like 17, but I'm going to stick with just a couple, I promise, not to take up too much of your show. Earlier you alluded to the gospel being corrupted, and I understand your position for that, but the point that I was trying to make, and I was trying to make that on Facebook today when you and I were going back and forth with it, and did you notice that on Facebook it's like 6-1 on there? I feel like I'm getting drained
out. You are on my page. I have about 95% Muslims. I have 5,000 people on my page. And 95%
really?
Of them. What did you expect?
Well, I don't know, but every time I turned around, it seemed like I was getting a left here, a right here, and just a beat down here, and then picked up and body slammed. And I was like, holy cow, where are these people coming from? But, okay, let's get back to it. What I was going to ask. It was pretty bad. Okay, you said that the Gospels have been corrupted, okay, and you said that the Gospels that were corrupted had pre-existed Christ. Am I right on that? Okay. What evidence or what documentary evidence do we have for the pre-existence of these Gospels? Where are these located at?
Okay, the first book we know is the Torah, right?
Yes, and we can trace the Torah clear back to at least 572 AD when we look at the translation of the Torah from Hebrew into classical Greek. We call that the Septuagint. So we know that it existed at least 572 in its current form. Okay.
Okay. Now, as far as the Bible goes, I cannot give you any accurate dates on that. No proof on that.
What do you mean the Bible?
But,
you mean the New Testament itself?
Yeah, the New Testament itself.
Okay.
So I'm not going to – I can't really satisfy your answer on that one.
Well,
but
that,
I
mean, that really drives down the crux. And you can do a search on that after the show, and, you know, I'm sure we'll be engaging on Facebook on that. But that really drives to the crux of the argument, which is if the Bible has been – or if the gospel itself – let's just stick with the gospel. If the gospel itself has been corrupted, which Muhammad told fellow Muslims to go to – attest to his or to verify what he was saying, and we don't have
now
any evidence for that, then why should we believe that? And that really drives down to the question, why should we believe what Muhammad was saying if there's no evidence for that? And we have all kinds of documentary evidence dating clear back to the first century about the New Testament, the gospel.
Well, now, with that being said, I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but I do know that during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was Christian men who became Muslim, and they became Muslim based on parts of the Bible that they had that spoke of his coming. Now, I never heard the Prophet
Muhammad's coming.
I never heard the Prophet Muhammad. I'm sorry.
Are you referring to parts of the Bible that referred to the coming of Muhammad? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. Now, going to the Prophet Muhammad sending people to the Bible, I've never heard that. Now I know that Allah says, confirms that which has been sent before you. But see, you have to understand what it means by confirming something. Allah is saying he's confirming the Tawheed that Jesus bought. The Tawheed, you know what Tawheed is?
I'm sorry, I do not.
Okay, Tawheed is the oneness of God, worshiping God alone, not worshiping nobody else. You see what I'm saying? That's Tawheed, when you only worship God, the Creator, the sustainer of everything that exists. That's Tawheed.
Are you aware what John 1 says about the first four verses of John say about the Creator?
I've read it, but refresh my memory, please.
Well, it basically says that Jesus was God in the beginning, and everything was created through him. So when we talk about Tawheed, the oneness of God,
Are you on your cell phone?
I am. Are you having a hard time hearing me?
You're breaking up, and I'm catching bits and pieces of what you're saying, but you're breaking up real bad, and it's kind of low, so I don't think the people on YouTube can hear you that much.
And that's a bad thing. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, a little better. Go ahead.
Okay. John the Gospel of John, when we talk about the Injil, the Gospel, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, or was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So that, I mean, in the when John, the Apostle John, is writing about Jesus, he's saying that Jesus was there in the beginning with God. And if you go,
I never got that when I read that. I read that so many times, and what I got from that was somebody making that to be Jesus, but not really. It's, for instance, like Jesus says, they asked Jesus, he says, the way to the Father is through me. You know this verse, right?
That's John 14, yes. I am the way, the
okay,
truth, and life.
Okay, I read all the words.
Okay.
Now, if you are a man of Scripture, let's say, whether you be Muslim, whether you be Jew or Bani Israel, children of Israel, or you be Christian, this is the most simple thing to explain. Because Jesus said, the way to the Father is through me, right? What prophet,
no man comes to the Father except by me, right?
What prophet wouldn't say that? What man of God who was sent by God wouldn't say that? See, this is what I mean. If Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings on him, said the same thing. Moses said the same thing, alayhi salam. Abraham said the same thing. Because you're not getting to God unless what? Unless you follow them and you obey what they tell you. That's how you get to God.
But that's not
so
the
these
only,
are some of the verses
and that's
that
not
we
the only path that we follow to demonstrate that we have to go through Christ in order to be one with God. I mean, John 3:16 and John 3:17 are pretty are very explicit about that.
Concept.
Well, I mean, if you look at John 3:16,
you don't have them in front of you.
John 3:16 is a verse every Christian knows off the top of their head. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, that's everybody.
And that's any prophet. Now listen.
Has said that though. I mean, not every prophet requires you to go through him. Now, going through his teachings, that's something separate. But in that verse. No, that verse throws down the gauntlet. It basically says,
okay,
that
listen,
you have to go
I give you an
Christ
example
in order to have eternal life.
All right, read that again. That last part.
Okay, I didn't. Let me bring it up because I just recited that off my head. I'm not one to memorize. I'm not good. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, or only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That believes in him, not what he said, but believes in him.
Yeah, you got to listen. To be a believer, you have to believe in everything God has. You got to believe in his prophets, his angels. I shared this with you, remember? To be a believer, you have to believe. Allah says in the Quran, he says, "Amina billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rasuli wa yawm al-akhir wa qadr wa khayr wa shar." He said, it's to believe in Allah, "Amina billahi wa malaikati," his angels, "wa kutubi," his books, "wa rasuli," his messengers, "wa yawm al-akhir," the day of judgment, "wa qadr wa khayr wa shar," and the decree of God, divine decree of God, the good and the bad of it. Now, the word son of God, do you know that this is not the only time that that's been used or in its own context? Any people back in those days who were considered religious, who were considered God-fearing, who were considered Muslim, submitting to God, then they were called children of God. So you could be the son of God, you could be the daughter of God. It wasn't a thing where it actually meant father, son, but it was a spiritual relationship. This is what that meant back then. So you had a lot of people called sons of God and daughters of God because they were spiritual beings. They were worshipers of God.
And I've heard that argument before, but when you compare that to the book of Mark, And when you go to where Jesus has been arrested and he's being tried in front of the Sanhedrin, and they ask him, Ananias, the chief, I don't know what, the chief priest, asks the chief priest, are you the Messiah, the son of the Blessed One, meaning the Son of God? And Jesus says, Yahweh, or I am. And this right here tells us that Jesus is not saying that I am like this arbitrary son of God like you're speaking of right now. But
why
what
not?
He's saying is because he's saying he's using the name of God and applying it to himself. Yahweh,
okay.
I am. He's applying it to I am God. And here's the important part. Because if you go to the very next verse, verse 63, Mark chapter 14, verse 63, the chief priests understood exactly what he was saying. And this is so important. The chief priests, somebody who knows the Jewish law, knows the Torah, knows the Old Testament inside and out, this is what he said. He said, the chief priest tore his clothes and then says, why do we need any more witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. So when Jesus said, not that we are all sons and daughters of God. No. That's not what he said. He said,
okay.
I am God. And that's why they put him to death. Or had him
I got a question
death.
For you. Now, with saying all that, right? When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, right?
Yes.
What did he do?
He prayed, yes.
He prayed. Who was with him?
And he woke up his disciples, too, because they'd fallen asleep.
But who
I'm
was
sorry,
with him when
he
went pray?
Who was he praying? And
who was
them?
With him? Who was with him?
His disciples were with him.
Not yet. He went and prayed by himself first. Then
well,
he went
off,
quick.
But his disciples were in the garden with him is what I'm saying. But, yeah, he was by himself when he was praying. Yes, you're right.
My point is, why would Jesus pray to himself?
Well, see, here you're missing the idea of the Trinity, the idea of the Trinity itself. And we've talked about this, or at least I've alluded to it on your previous shows. And it's a completely different concept. When you talk about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you're talking about three persons in one. And what you are doing, or what Muslims do often, is they try to apply the ontological properties of humanness to God, when God in the Bible has always been described as spirit. Well, when we look at a spirit, what is a spirit? Well, you can't apply humanness to a spirit itself. So when we say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we're talking about a triunity of God, and God setting himself outside of heaven, entering into earth, manifests himself in Jesus Christ. This is Christian doctrine. This is something that
this is
and
Godhead,
I don't mean to disparage Muhammad, but this is something Muhammad could not wrap his head around.
Paganism. Is Godhead Roman Greco paganism? This is where
no,
it comes
absolutely
from.
Not. Go to Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When you look at, I mean, and this is done over 2,000 times in the Old Testament, it uses the word Elohim. Elohim is the plural form of God. You look at the creation man. Let us, plural, make man in our image.
Okay,
plural.
But that
so you're using
that.
A plural form of God. When we look at God, this is the Christian concept. I mean, even from the beginning, the first chapters of the Bible, we see this, I wouldn't call it the triunity of God, but we see a plurality of the Godhead itself.
It still comes from Roman Greco-paganism. This was nothing Jesus ever taught it. And these things were added to the Godhead. And for the people who don't know what the Godhead is this trilateral being that has three faces. It's supposed to be God. And the Greco-Romans, and I don't know if you know the history of this, Eric, but the Greco-Romans took the teachings of Jesus, alayhi salam, and they intertwined it with the Greco-Roman paganism. the reason why the people were, they began to love what Jesus was talking about. But they knew that the people were not going to attest to it right away. So they kind of mixed it in with their religion. And this is why you have the Trinity today.
Well, what you're doing is, in here, what you're doing is you're applying some sects of Roman society that did do that. But the early Christian church, based on all of the extant writings that we have today, did not do that. And I can understand people from Rome, being part of Roman culture, Roman society at the time, wanting to do that, and you can cite, and I'm sure you you have sources for that, where that did in fact happen. But the fact is that those people who followed Christ did not do that, did not apply those tenets that you're speaking of. This was something that was taught from what we know based on the writings that we have in our hands today, that Muhammad spoke of, that we had in our hands, that existed then. When we speak, and this is, you know, this is something, when we get back to that original question that I had for you, what gospels are you referring to? And I'll grant that you don't know, and I get that, because every Muslim that I've asked this question of does not know. They cannot state that. And this was my last post to you on Facebook today, was that if you are saying that these gospels existed, pre-existed what we have today, then it is incumbent upon you, it is your responsibility then to produce those, to produce that evidence.
What I said,
so I would
what
be compelled
said,
to believe that.
I couldn't give you an accurate timeline or anything, but, you know, this is what I've heard. Now, I'm not going to... I'm not going to sanction this because I've only heard this. I don't have the proof for it. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but what I am saying, I don't have the proof. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. But I have seen the book, The Gospel of Barnabas. I've seen that. And I've heard that Mary had some writings, that Mary had some writings herself, and that these writings were suppressed because it called to the oneness of God. It called to only worshiping God and revealing Jesus as a prophet of God. So Allah knows best. You know, that's something maybe we won't know until the day of judgment, when we all stand in front of God and God will say who's right and who's wrong. I guess we won't know until then, Eric.
Well, I would hope so. But you mentioned the Gospel of Barnabas, and I'm not sure if I brought this up on your show before.
Yeah, we talked about it before, a long time
ago. Oh, okay. All right, well, the Gospel of Barnabas is obviously a 13th century forgery. And if anybody gets on there and does a goes on there and does a Google search, you can see why that is. I mean, just two things just off the top of my head. Number one, the year of Jubilee being 100 years. There's only one time in Christian history in which Christian and Jewish history, that the year of Jubilee was every 100 years, and that was during the 13th century. And then also, the other one was cask, wine cask. Wine casks were not used in Israel until the 8th century. And both of those things in the Gospel of Barnabas. But there's also like 30 other things that are in that Gospel.
I mean, well, like I said, you know, we really won't never
know. The Gospel of Mary, there was a movie made.
Mary, listen, I got to get back to the topic of the show. You know, I always enjoy talking to you. I want you to call more. And I apologize I had to cut you off now, but it's almost 10:30, and I haven't finished the show yet.
I get it. Thank you so much for letting me get on here tonight, Muhammad. I love your show, and I love yelling at you on my iPod, too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think I can hear you sometime.
Well, I hope it doesn't hurt too bad.
Okay, Eric.
All right, you have a wonderful night.
You too, Eric. You have a very good night. And don't go out and party, because it's not good to go out and party now. So, alhamdulillah, you know, people, you're going to have people who are sincere in what they believe. And I hope that you are sincere in what you believe. Only Allah guides the heart. فَمَنْ يَدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُدِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُلِدْ فَلَا هَدِيَ لَهُ. Only Allah is with us. Is the one who guides. If Allah guides you, nobody can misguide you. And if Allah takes you off the path, then there's no one that can guide you to the path. You know, it's not upon us to guide everybody. Some people are going to be strong in what they believe. You know? And it doesn't mean you be rude to the people. It doesn't mean you cuss them out and everything like that, because this was bad, Dawa. You stay polite, you know? Eric, I like Eric. Eric's a good guy. We talk, you know, though we don't have the same belief system, you know, we have good conversations about the religion. Sometimes we fuss and argue at each other, but you know what? Alhamdulillah. It happens like that sometimes. If anyone wants to make a comment or ask a question, the number is 347-324-3601. Press the number 1 on your keypad, and you can chime in, inshallah, and give us your hard truth. Also, you want to remind the people that The Hard Truth airs every Thursday night at 9 o'clock right here on YouTube, Law Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break, inshallah, and then we're going to get into Living Islam. And that's The Hard Truth.
Do you need to install a door, replace a broken window, or maybe add on to your home, build a shed in your backyard, or build the dream home you always wanted? Look no further. Smith & Associates Property Maintenance and Contracting will help make your dreams a reality. Good pricing, quality work, and honest Muslims. Smith & Associates will be your first and final stop, inshallah. Give them a call at 770-504-5993 or email smithapnc@gmail.com. If you own multiple units, ask about our maintenance program. Located in the Atlanta area and servicing surrounding cities, Smith & Associates Property Maintenance and Contracting, 770-504-5993. Got an idea? Give us a call.
Alhamdulillah. So now we know in learning Islam, you want to learn it correctly. And when you apply it, you want to apply it correctly. Now what happens is a lot of times, living Islam, when we step in our houses, we say Bismillah. When we get up in the morning, we say all praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, ahyana right now, ba'da, all praise be to Allah, who has restored my soul after death. And, you know, when you eat, you say Bismillah. And when you yawn, you cover your mouth and so on and so forth. Has it become repetitious? When our children are born Muslim and we raise them to say this and say that, are they just parents? Has it become something that is just something we do? Becomes repetitious. But it has no iman with it. It has no feeling for it. It has nothing to it. It's just something that we do. See, we want to be sure, and I think a lot of Muslims who have been Muslim for a long time, we have to revamp our Islam. We have to go back and look for that iman factor where we're saying, you know, I really know if I say Bismillah, shaitan is not coming in my house. And when I step with my right foot, when I eat with my right hand, shaitan is not eating with me. You see, these are some of the things when we recite Ayatul Kursi, you know, for protection. We recite in Yasin Ja'una fi anaki maghlalan fi hiyala calling whom it's moving. We recite these ayahs of the Quran, and we know that they are protection for us. When we use the Quran in our everyday life, when we use Islam in our everyday life, but not to the point where we are just mimicking or just doing what we learned a long time ago, but we all are actually feeling it. We're feeling what we are applying. That is the key to this. You know, we want to feel what we are applying. Alhamdulillah, I know everybody's out partying right now. You know, I had about a lot of numbers on my YouTube, and they just dropped. I think it's getting close to 12 o'clock, and everybody's about to go out and kick it. May Allah protect us, I mean. But people, have we internalized this Islam? Have we lived the Islam in a way where it has actually affect our lives? We got a call on the line. Air code 917, last 4 digits 7233. Welcome to The Hard Truth with your host, Muhammad Hard Truth Smith.
Assalamu alaikum, my kid. It's your brother, Jabir.
Wa alaikum salam, my main man, Jabir.
What's going on?
Where you at, North Carolina, South Carolina?
I'm in North Carolina.
Man, what you got to say about them Panthers? I had to hit you with that one time.
Just rub it in.
I've been listening,
and some of the things that the caller was saying just didn't make sense to me at all. You know, I'm not trying to knock him for what he believes or anything, but it was very interesting. It was very interesting, and I remember there's a scripture on Jeremiah. I believe it's 1-11. When it talks about cutting the pine tree down and decorating it with bells and all this other stuff, you're not supposed to do that. So the interpretation of that is, I wanted to ask him what his interpretation of that was. Any normal person would tell you that you're not supposed to celebrate Christmas because it's a pagan holiday. There's no known fact of the day Jesus was born. So, you know, on that aspect, I just wanted to touch that on, just a little bit on that. You know, I had that on my head for the last 30 minutes, but, you know, y'all was battling. So I was just listening and taking in the information and soaking it in.
That's what I was trying to explain to them. A lot of the things they do is based off paganism. And there's just no getting around it. You know, Christianity has a lot of paganism. And the thing is, a lot of people don't see it, you know. And the funny thing, I'm going to tell you what's more funny than that, Jabir. Do you know that some books have Islamic mythology?
Yeah, a lot.
It really does. It has Islamic mythology. And we look at it as Islamic mythology. What is that, you know? So when we talk about the jinn and the angels and stuff, to them, it's mythology, but really it's not, you know. But what they deal with is straight paganism.
Yeah, which is, I had my neighbor, they dar are Christians, and they was asking me a question about it, and I was giving them that one, and so I asked them, so why do you celebrate Christmas? Oh, because, you know, it's tradition. What tradition? You know, what tradition do you get from that? I was like, where in the Bible does it say that Jesus is born on the 25th of December? And before I could even finish the sentence, they were like, it doesn't say it. So why would you celebrate something with no evidence to prove that this is a correct date?
Celebrate Halloween. I didn't even touch
that one. So they was asking me, so what is my true religion? What is my true religion? I said, if you want to know your true religion, easiest thing I could do, you know what I mean? I was like, go pick up the movie Roots. Watch about 2 or 3 times.
Hear what that did.
let it soak in. And when it soaks in, then you come ask me for information, and I'll give it to you. And if I can't give you the correct information, I got a few brothers that'll help you with the understanding of your true religion.
Alhamdulillah.
You know what I mean? But, inshallah, I'm going to get at you later, Aki, because I need you to do me a favor down there in Atlanta.
Okay, inshallah. Just get at me, inshallah.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah. You know, Brother Jabir brought up something very important. And I'm glad he brought it up because we live this Islam. Alhamdulillah, we live it. You know, we don't get into things that are un-Islamic. Well, we're not supposed to. We try not to. Let me say we try not to. But, you know, we don't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate these holidays and things like that. We don't allow things to sway us away from our belief system. You know, I remember Eric asked me, he said, Muhammad, do you actually believe all Christians believe in Santa Claus? And it's funny, it's like, if you don't believe in it, why do you indulge in it? Why? I mean, it's like Shaitan just plays with them. And, you know, the funny thing is, there are jinn that are Christian. There are jinn that are Muslim, jinn that are Jews, so on and so forth. And we was talking about this on our show with Sheikh Assad,
how you have so many different gens. And you would think, because the jinns are part of the unseen, they know the truth, but they don't. A lot of jinns don't know. They have to get dawah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave shahada to a bunch of jinns one night when they invited him to speak with them. So, yes, even the jinn have to bear witness to Elijah with him. When we are talking about living Islam, we are talking about when a person sees you, they immediately know you're Muslim. They immediately know you're Muslim by the way you carry yourself, by the way you speak. You know, not just the sajda mark and the kufis and everything. I had times where I was in my regular work clothes, didn't have on nothing to say I was Muslim, and somebody said, Assalamu alaikum. I'm not doing this to build myself. I'm just telling you. Somebody said, Assalamu alaikum. And I said, Wa alaikum salam. And I'm thinking, okay, I got a beard, you know. But how did this person know I was Muslim? People recognize you, you know, Allah knows best. So we want to live Islam. You know, if we see somebody drop some money on the ground, are we quick to pick it up and say, here, you dropped this? Or are we quick to pick it up and put it in our pocket? That's another thing, you know. This is how you live Islam, by constantly knowing that Allah is watching you. We were talking about taqwa. And they asked, it was either Umar or Umar or Umar. They asked him, what was taqwa? What is taqwa? What is taqwa? And to translate taqwa into English is like God-fearing, God-conscious. But he said taqwa is like you are walking through a thorny bush, and you pull up your izar, or you pull up your thobe, so as not to get caught. That's what taqwa is. So a Muslim lives his life praying, it becomes his lifestyle. Fasting becomes his lifestyle. Good speech becomes his lifestyle. Dressing properly becomes his lifestyle. This is the lifestyle of a Muslim. Some of the ayats in the Quran that I always tell people to check out is Surah 23, the first 10 ayats. Subhanallah. As a matter of fact, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to pull them up and share them with you, inshallah. Because I love these ayats. And you know what? My phone just updated, so it might not be translated. Let me see. If not, we might just read the Arabic, inshallah. Okay, Surah 23. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, meaning successful deed of the believers, those who offer this salat with khashiyah. Khashiyah, meaning khashiyah is this type of concentration, this type of focus, this type of fear. You know, this type of when one of the Sahabas was praying, he was on watch, and he was protecting the Muslims, and he was praying to Hajj, and one of the scouts shot him in his leg with an arrow. He did not even break his salat. He didn't even break his salat, and I remember we were talking about one of the salaf of the past where he was praying and there was a man on one side and a man on the other side. And after they finished praying, they said to the sheikh, he said, Sheikh, did you see him? He didn't have his hands in the right place. Well, sheikh, but he didn't even raise his hands up. The sheikh said, how did y'all see all that when you was praying? How did y'all see all that? He didn't see it because he was praying. So, we say, you know, Allah, he gives you the example of those who will be successful. These people who live Islam. Successful indeed are believers. Those who offer this salat will kushar. And there are those who, وَالَّذِينَهُمْ عَنِ الْلُّغَوَىٰ مُؤْرِدُونَ, who turn away from Allah, evil speech, vain speech, so on and so forth. وَالَّذِينَهُمْ لِلْزَكَاتِ And those who give out of what we, and there are those who pay the zakat. And I really don't know why I don't have my translation up. I don't know where it's at. Oh, it's fine. Okay, I lost it. Okay, so they pay the zakat. Or excuse me, and there are those who purify zakat to fa'ilu.
Selena, who I don't know why is not being translated. Hold on, let me go back. I have to read this to you guys later because I want to make sure I'm translating this correctly, inshallah. And I don't want to get too far off without making sure I'm translating it correctly. I don't know where my thing is. I don't know why it's not being translated. So anyway, if you read Surah 23, the first 10 ayahs, it'll tell you what the believers are. And I don't want to keep reading it without the translation, so I don't want to say anything that is incorrect, inshallah. So, yes, this is living Islam. Being kind to your neighbors. How many of us have actually checked on our neighbors? We have homosexual neighbors on this side of me, across the street from me, and I speak to them. No, brothers and sisters, that is not Islam. Islam is that the Muslim shows the best conduct. Now, if we was in a Muslim country and we caught them doing something they supposed to be doing, yeah, you kill them, flat out. You kill them. But we're not in a Muslim country, so now it's about da'wah, giving da'wah. Let them say, you know what, I want to be like the Muslim. Well, if you want to be like the Muslim, you can't be doing that. Right? Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. So remember, everybody, the Hard Truth comes on every Thursday night at 9 o'clock, 9 to 11, inshallah. Sometimes we might not have the show, sometimes we run late because, you know, I work and we're trying to do everything, inshallah, that we can. Also, we're going to start taking commercials again, inshallah. Anyone who wants to be part of the Hard Truth, who wants to help us out into getting our show out there and helping us put out more shows, so on and so forth, then, you know, contact me on Facebook if you are in the Atlanta area, and we're trying to put together a solid crew of people who will actually take Islamic Island to the next level. We have our own network, inshallah. So with that being said, if I say anything that is wrong or incorrect, I ask you to forgive me. Ask Allah to forgive me, make dua for me. If I say anything that is correct, that is inspiring and make you closer to Allah, that guide you to Islam, then verily all the praise due to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Eric from Kabristan, we're making a special dua for you, that Allah Azza wa Jal guide your heart and bring you to the folds of Islam, ameen, and may he remove you from Kafiristan and put you in Believeristan, inshallah. And that is the Hard Truth, and we see you next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My daddy has to come home now, and that's the Hard Truth. Assalamu alaikum.